Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to the new PFF NFL Daily. Here's a recent snippet from the PFF NFL podcast.
That brings us on to Peter Skoronski. This is who we've got to talk about now because he's your offensive tackle number one. And as we just heard, I mean, he's ticking most of the boxes we want from our perfect prospect in this draft. He's, you know, really high up in terms of mirroring, his hand usage, moving in space as well. He's got everything except the arms. And the problem he's got is that the arms are really on the extreme end of small. You know, even guys who you can think of in the past who have sort of had that relatively short arm thing and succeeded, most of those guys have longer arms. You know, if you get it up, even if you just bump it to 33 inches, that brings in guys like Rashawn Slater or Jared Veldier, like quality left tackles that have had success in the NFL. As soon as you get below 33, you start to run really low on names of successful guys really quickly. And he's 32 and a quarter.
So guys with 32 and a half inches that played snaps last year at tackle in the NFL, you have Jackson Carman, the Cincinnati Bengals, and that was obviously at a backup role.
Right.
He started his career at guard. You have Patrick McCurry for the Ravens, and you have Braden Smith for the Indianapolis Colts. That's it. That's the full list. Guys with 32 and a half. And Carman, I believe, is worth 32 and a half. McCurry's were shorter. Braden Smith's the one guy where it's like, that's your hope, right? He has 32 and a quarter inch arms, the exact same as Peter Skoronski. And he's been great, right? This past, like, he's been probably a top 5 to 10 right tackle. If you get Braden Smith's career, that's a first round pick every day, twice on Sundays. That's you're paying, you know, a top 15 pick for a guy like Braden Smith and how productive he's been at tackle position. So I think the fact that we've seen it, it makes you a little hopeful. Now, can he reach the ceiling that some of these other guys can't? Like, is it going to limit him in ways? Like, will he still probably struggle with pure power rushers, longer guys, the Nick Boses of the world who really come at you with play strength and use that length, use that first contact advantage? I think so. I don't foresee him ever turning into what Trent Williams looks like, right?
Right.
But I do think that the fact that we know there's a guy doing it at a high level with our own length, I wouldn't be too afraid of it. And then if it doesn't work out, I think you'll be an elite guard. So I do think that all those put together, the safeness of him compared to the rest of his class is why I'd still go to bat for him as OT1.
That last point I think is really interesting because that when I started to look at the arm length thing and sort of looking for comps and guys that have played well over a period of time, two names that jumped out to me when you extend the parameters a little bit are two guys who had 32 and a half inch arms for one of them and then 32 and 7/8 for the other, each of whom I think could have been pretty high quality offensive tackles, but each of whom got kicked inside to guard and became arguably the best player in the NFL at their position. Number one is Marshall Yanda, 32 and a half. And then the other one is Zach Martin, 32 and 7/8. Both of those guys have shown in their NFL career that they can play offensive tackle. Yanda, yes. I think, could have been a Pro Bowl, All-Pro right tackle. Zach Martin, maybe not that good, but he's shown he can go out and play right tackle and be fine. So those are two interesting names because both of those guys effectively got kicked inside a guard. Martin was never even a question, and Yanda got moved inside relatively quickly. But I think each of them showed that they probably could have been fine at right tackle. And if that is the kind of career path for Skoronski or the debate the teams are facing, I think that becomes an interesting discussion of, well, which is better? Like, and Quentin Nelson is another guy that sort of muddies this as well. If you're going to be that good at guard, is it worth you starting off a tackle and seeing if you can be decent? Because we've always sort of taken the approach of let the guy fail a tackle first because it's a more valuable position. But guys like Quentin Nelson have shown, and I suspect Yanda and Martin would show the same thing, that if you're going to be that freaking good at guard, you are more valuable than, you know, a reasonable right tackle. Like, you would need to be a very good offensive tackle for it to still be worth keeping him out there and seeing if you can do that.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you there that they have to be legitimately, you know, below, like, legitimately a problem at tackle before I'm switching him to guard, just because of the ease of which you can find one and not the other. You know, you can go find competency at guard. You just cannot find that at tackle very easily. And I will say this, Marshall Yanda, if that's like what you're getting, he had an 85.5 overall grade at tackle in his career.
Right.
Like, he was legitimately, like you said, a good tackle. And I think Zach Martin wasn't to that degree, but was competent there. So it's limiting, yes, but I think you are cutting yourself off from a super valuable, super, and in my opinion, high floor player if you're just throwing Peter Skoronski out of the staff class because of his arm.
Yeah, I mean, Yanda is the kind of jackpot scenario where obviously he was arguably the best guard of his generation during his NFL career, but also had enough time at tackle where he proved he could have been a very good right tackle if the Ravens wanted to play him there instead. Like, if that was, I mean, that's probably the ceiling of what you can expect for anybody that's in this bucket of undersized arms or concerning arm length. This is also where we have to remind people that you're going to find places that say that Joe Thomas had 32-something-inch arms, but when Joe Thomas was on the podcast, he explained that that measurement was a mistake, and actually his arms are significantly longer than that and far more, you know, prototypical left tackle numbers. So, sadly, what was the best data point to make this argument if you want to go to bat for a short-arm guy for like a decade, it turns out is just bullshit.
Yeah, hard to see a 6'7 guy having that short arms.
Unless you're Aiden Hutchinson.
Would have been cool. Would have been cool if he did.
Yeah, unless you're Aiden Hutchinson, where somehow his arms are that snappy.
He's got a weird build.
Incredible.
Him, actually, there's a few over the years who had really weird, really oddly short arms at that size. There's a guy in this year's class who, Gervon Dexter, got 32 1/4-inch arms at 6'6".
Aiden Hutchinson and me have the same length arms, and he's 8 inches taller than I am. It's absurd. That shouldn't be possible. What was I going to say? So for Skoronski, we think he has the ability to play left tackle. There are plays on his tape where you do see the arm length thing show up, like guys get into his chest, he just flails. Like, he just can't, you know what I mean? You can't reset once that happens. Once a guy gets one arm into your chest and he's longer than you are, you're basically a passenger at that point. And all the footwork, all the play strength, all the ability to mirror in the world means nothing because you have no leverage point.
Yeah. Yeah. You saw that there's reps against like Lucas Van Ness that are like the concerning reps, right? Where it's like Lucas Van Ness, 6'5", 270, 34-inch arms. That's kind of prototypical, that's what you'll see at the NFL that's you're worried about. And you saw him just Van Ness bowl him over a couple times in their matchup. So that, you just may not get the super high end because there are legitimate weaknesses or legitimate ways you can attack a short arm tackle. But I will say this, 3 years of starting at left tackle, I think one of the biggest things in this tackle class, especially at the top, is inexperience. You have Paris Johnson, the Ohio State tackle, with 1 year starting at left tackle. You have Broderick Jones from Georgia, one full year as a starter at left tackle. Those are kind of 1-2 on a lot of people's boards. And so if I'm looking and I'm, a top 12 team, I'm someone like, whether it's like the Raiders or someone like the Titans who's like, I need that help right now. You know, my offensive line stinks. I need someone to come in and be good. I think you're looking at this tackle class and you're saying Peter Skoronski can do that. Whereas these other guys, maybe the transition's a little steeper.
The other thing I'll say, and I don't know if this means anything beyond just, circumstance, but when you turned on the combine, when you watched him move around and the Lycra crap that they had on, he just looks like a guard. Like, if you freeze framed the picture of the dude and said, where does this guy play in the NFL? You would say offensive guard. You wouldn't say tackle. Like, he's got that kind of body type. So it's not just, I don't think, the short arm thing. If you just take a look at him, you go, that guy's definitely a guard at the next level. So I think there's a pretty high chance that a team drafts him and he ends up playing guard relatively quickly. Like maybe they have an acute need to tackle, mm-hmm. and that's where he plays in a pinch year one. But like, he feels to me like he's going to be a long-term guard.